Good evening, everybody. This evening, I want to discuss a sugya related to Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, we learn about the Korban Tamid. So at the end of Parshas Pinchas, we have many Korbanos and Safin, and we have some of the Nesachim, or the, different, Korban, we read these Korban Misafin, right, as I guess every single holiday, we whip out the most of us from Parsha Pinchas, right? It's most famously known for the Korban Musaf Parsha. However, the Korban Tamid is hiding in Parsha's Pinchas, that the Korban Tamid we brought every day. So in Parachav Ches, Pesukim Aleph, Tudala, the Torah describes, Hashem tells Moshe, etc., to command the Jewish people, bring one lamb in the morning, one lamb in the afternoon, etc. Okay, that is known as the Korban Tamid. So just before we go into the halacha of the evening, let's just learn a little bit of Parsha, slightly be'iyun. So the question begs itself, why, out of all places in the Torah, would the Korban Tamid be in Parshas Pinchas? What would it be maybe a little more logical place to put the Korban Tamid? Maybe somewhere in the Sefer
Vayikra. A whole bunch of other Korbanos in
it. Yeah, yeah.
But it's also in Tzadik, depending how you interpret it.
Oh, very good. So the Korban Tamid is mentioned earlier, right, but this is where it is a formal commandment. Right, very good. So Stuart, you're saying that it makes sense to be in Pinchas?
Because there's a lot of other Korbanos
in Pinchas. Ah, very good.
So the time-related Korbanos.
Time-related. Right, so Korban Tamid, ironically, is related to like everyday. So it's also kind of timely, in the same way that Shabbos is officially one of the Moadim.
Actually, it makes perfect sense. Every day, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and the Moadim. So it makes a very good.
Very good. So you're saying that's such a strong question all of a sudden. Meaning, the Mepharshim deal with the question, but it also is not so illogical either. So the Chevi here is saying that it's not so crazy to put the Korban Tamid in this Mepharshim. So but the Mepharshim, deal with the question. Rashi famously says as follows. That Ma'amar Lamala, what was just said previously, where Moshe requested from Hashem, please make sure you appoint a leader before I die. You know what Hashem said back to Moshe? Amar Lakadosh Baruch Hu, Aj Ata Metzaveni Al Banai, all the while that you're commanding me about my kids, Kitziva Es Bnei, how about this? Tziva Es Banai Alai. Why don't you go, what is it? Tzavi, the Chavit is supposed to be there. So, you're telling me what to do with my kids. I'm going to actually tell you what to do with my kids. Mashal Labas Melech. So, it's a very interesting midrash. Midrash and the Sefri. Rashi goes, so yeah, the daughter of the king. Shaisa Nifteres Menolim. She was actually passing away from this world. Shaisa Mifakedes Labaila Albera. And she was giving her husband instructions. I'm about to die and I want you to do X, Y, and Z with the children. The midrash continues and says that her husband, the prince, said, whoa, you're about to die. Why don't you take the time to go instruct our children that they should respect me, right? A little bit of a, moral lesson, ethical lesson from their mother before you die. So too says the Ribbono Shel Olam, listen, Moshe, okay, you want me to appoint a new leader, that's fine. But you also should tell your children to bring the Korban Tamid. Very, very nice. Beautiful Rashi. That being said, it doesn't necessarily explain why specifically the Korban Tamid, right? The idea is that Moshe was asking God to take care of his kids, and Hashem's response was, why don't you give them a mitzvah? But that seemingly could have been any mitzvah, right? All right, so, it definitely answers the question partially.
I can answer that.
Very good. Adam says, no, it's not just any mitzvah. The fact that Hashem is telling him this mitzvah is arguably the most important mitzvah in the Torah. So it's a good mitzvah. More than more punch. More than punch. Yeah, all right. But either way, it highlights the significance of the Korban Tamid. I hear it.
I would like to expand on that. It's not just the Korban Tamid Brada, right?
Yeah.
But rather, it's the whole concept of Nidus
when
it comes to Yahadus. Otherwise, how could a pasuk like that trump Shema Yisrael?
Very good. Stuart is back in action. Ready to go. Polish shirt is busting. Very good. I like it.
What do you say?
Stewart said that it's a very appropriate message. When we speak about the Korban Tamid, so the message of the Korban Tamid is to have a daily commitment to Hashem. Certainly a last word to hear from Moshe Rabbeinu is not just an ordinary mitzvah, but imagine having a last will and testament or a final address from Moshe Rabbeinu and the message being. So we're combining Adam and Stuart, you know, together. So we go, Adam with the assistant, Stuart with the finish there. That ultimately, it's a very appropriate message to a final message, a final address that, you know, Moshe commanding the Jews, be consistent. It's all about the day in and the day out. All right, very nice. So now there is a very nice comment, though, of the Netziv in the Hamakdavar. So he says the following. So again, just to elaborate on this concept. So we assume, says the Netziv, that the Korban Tamid, you know, because it's referred to Lechem in the Torah, as Korban Ilachmi, we assume that in response to our bringing the Korban Tamid, Hashem provides our Parnasa. And argues the Netziv a very beautiful Kiddush. The goal of the Korban Tamid in the Midbar was not the same as it being brought in Eretz Yisrael. The Korban Tamid served two different functions. He says, well, listen, in the Midbar we didn't need Parnassah because we had the man fall every day. Did you know on a little bit of a deeper level what this interaction was between Moshe and Hashem? Moshe was basically telling Hashem, listen, they need a new leader. They need a new leader. I'm going to die. What's going to be with it with them? And Hashem says, don't worry about them. Just tell them to bring the Korban Tamid. Namely, when they get into Israel and they bring the Korban Tamid, that will provide them with the necessary parnasa that they need. So that was like the deeper conversation going on, meaning Hashem's response was not random. Rather, Hashem was telling Moshe, as long as they bring the Korban Tamid, they'll be fine. Parenthetically, the word parnas means both leader. Parnasa also means making a living, right? So there's some connection between Moshe asking for an appointed leader and Hashem saying, well, maybe you don't need a leader if they have Parnasa. I don't really know how to finish the thought there. I'm just kind of speculating. But again, just a little bit of parshanut. It's always appropriate to highlight the depth of learning Chumash. Before we learn Halacha, just there's so much, you know, rich Torah there, so many different layers just to learn Torah Shebechsav. And I always enjoy learning Chumash and teaching Chumash. But again, that's a little bit of a tease, again, on Shabbos itself, by the way, I almost never, delve into Halacha, at least in the afternoon. In the morning, we don't have Shabbos after the Minyan. But my own avoda on Shabbos, in my own home, is to learn more of the Parsha B'Iyan, really to learn either Rashi B'Iyan or the Olam HaFarshim. It's just, there's so much there, just to really learn the Parsha. Like rigorously is a very enriching experience. Okay, so with that background, we have been told that in this week's Parsha, the Torah tells us about the mitzvah to bring the Korban Tamid. So, all right, one lamb is brought in the morning, one lamb is brought in the afternoon. Last summer, actually, I had a very beautiful experience. Unfortunately, because of COVID, the NCSY Kollel was canceled. Last minute, everyone assumed when COVID broke out last summer that summer at least would be normal. NCSY was hoping for the best. Around June, people kind of realized COVID was not going away all that soon. Little did we know. And last minute, makeshift NCSY Kollel decides that we'll try to have one program in the five towns and one program in Bergen County. And I was, Baruch Hashem, given the opportunity to teach in TABC in a very kind of last minute program, and we had masks and social distancing and pods, and it was intense, but it was also the first opportunity for boys to get out of the house and not be on Zoom. It was very exciting, and we learned Maseches Tamid. I have a big soft spot in my for Maseches Tamid
with all the pictures.
Yeah, very good. So I have a picture book. You have to learn a picture book. And we were all supposed to be in Israel last summer, that group, and none of us were in Israel. So we learned Kadshim to connect to Israel, and we experienced Tisha B'Av together and Nechama together. And it was really a very special summer, even though we were not Zocha to be in Israel. But I don't know if I will ever forget the Kedusha of the TABC lunch. We weren't even allowed to go into the Beis Medrash. We needed to be in our own wings because COVID was so serious. They didn't want to have the TABC janitors, the maintenance staff, did not want to be exposed to the NCSYers. They didn't want to intermix pods. We had very specific hallways. We were not allowed to go past a certain point in the TABC building. Only because I work in TABC was I allowed to get the Sefer Torah, for davening. It was a very interesting summer. But either way, we're in Maseches Tamid. And this sugya is a little bit of an unknown sugya out there. So let's learn the sugya. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Tamid, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis. It's also on Daf Lamed. in Maseches Tanit. Amar Lam HaMamunah. So let's say we were all in the Beis HaMikdash. So there was a man appointed for the following job. He would say, go and look. Im Higiyah Zman HaShchita. Is it time to shech the korban tamid yet? Well, Im Higiyah HaRoeh. If the time came, HaRoeh Omer Bar Kai. So the Tanakhama understands that once this person who was on the lookout saw that it was morning enough, so the message would be relayed and they would declare the word Bar Kai, i.e. like Boker, it is now time to bring the Korban Tamid. However, Masa ben Shmuel Omer, no. Heir Pnei Kol Mizrach. Only if what the entire eastern sky was lit up, Ad Shehu B'Chevron, until the light in the sky has already illuminated all the way to Chevron, then and only then would they bring the Korban Tamid. Meaning they would ask, "Nu, is the sky that illuminated?" And only if they said him, yes, only then would they bring the Korban Tamid. So there are many ways to learn this Mishnah, but the way that Bartanura learns this Mishnah is as follows. There's actually a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Masi ben Shmuel. According to the Tanakhama, what was the looker looking for? This guy who was looking in the sky, he was just looking not for Nates, but for there to be a little bit of light. Meaning the Lashon here. So this is the sugya known as Amar HaShachar, and we're going to learn what in the blazes is Amar HaShachar. So this is not a simple question, right? This is not very.
Nates before?
No, Nates is sunrise. So yeah, well, yeah. So the first thing that happens every day is dawn. We're going to call that Amar HaShachar, also known as Alos HaShachar. So today's shiur is about the actual definition of dawn, of Alos HaShachar, of Amar HaShachar. Because the first opinion in the Mishnah basically just says, Heir V'Hivrik HaShachar, meaning is there a little bit of morning light? Just a little bit of light? And the other opinion in the Mishnah is, no. It's not enough just to have a little bit of light. Rather, what Masi ben Shmuel argues is that it's underlined over there in the Bartanua, She'ein Maspik K'Shehivrik K'Nekuda Bilvad. It's not sufficient when there is just a little bit like a speck of light. No, it's not enough. Rather, you need the entire light to be illuminated. And here's the Bartanura's conclusion. The halacha, Kamasya ben Shmuel. And the halacha follows Masya ben Shmuel. Namely, there was a machlokes tanaim when the Korban Tamid was brought every morning. Was it enough to have just a little bit of light in the morning? Or did you need more light? And all of this is before sunrise. We're not talking about sunrise, but we're talking about an earlier stage in the morning known as Amar HaShachar, and there's a machlokes. What is the earliest time you could bring this Korban Tamid every morning? And this has a tremendous impact on the halacha because we model our davening shachris after the laws of bringing the Korban Tamid. So guess what? The Torah writes la halacha, Zman Tfilas HaShachar. What's the earliest time you could daven Shachar tomorrow morning? Well, Maschil Misha Allah Amud HaShachar. The earliest time is what's called Amud HaShachar. We're going to call that dawn. Veheir Pnei HaMizrach. Now, he defines that time like Masib ben Shmuel, namely the entire morning light needs to illuminate whatever the eastern sky. Only then is it light enough. Shehi keneged tamid hashachar. Because the way we daven every morning is equivalent to when they brought the Korban Tamid. So if they could only bring the Korban Tamid when the sky was like, you know, a certain level of brightness, so we can only daven shachars at that same degree of brightness. Oh, so it's a very, very practical question. The question we're dealing with this evening is really what's the earliest time to daven shachar? So we know the answer is Amar HaShachar. But when is that? So right now we're defining that time as when the eastern sky is lit. And it's not only the Torah, it's the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is going to lay down the law. Zman Tfilas HaShachar. So tomorrow morning, you want to, you have to go to work. And it's let's say in the winter months, by the way, Amar HaShachar can be at like 6 a.m. And you might be in a pinch if you need to daven at, let's say, 5:30. You're going to be stuck. And there's no way you're allowed to daven Before Amud HaShachar. So, but what's the earliest you can daven?
Alos HaShachar.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
Alos HaShachar.
Yeah, Alos HaShachar, Amud HaShachar, Dawn. These are all synonyms. Yeah. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Mitzvah Sashi Asking Them and It's a Chama. Listen, ideally you daven at sunrise. There's a pasuk Yeruchim Hashem Hashem, the fourth paragraph of Maseches Brachos. The pasuk in Tehillim says that we shall greet God with the sun. So the truth is, there's no question about it. Every single person in the morning, ideally, would be starting their Shemona Esrei at sunrise or shortly thereafter, if you're saying Shema with sunrise, whatever it is. But when the sun is rising, that's the ideal sweet spot for the morning Shemona Esrei. However, that's ideal. If one were to daven earlier than sunrise, if we were daven already from dawn, you have fulfilled the mitzvah as long as this eastern sky is illuminated. Again, because that was the barometer for the earliest time to bring the Korban Tumid in the Beis Hamikdash.
Okay, so why Alos HaShachar today is 3:38?
Yes.
Why is the earliest man Kalos and Tefillin 4:24?
Yeah, it's a different Zman.
It's a different word.
Yeah. So
why? Because it's a Doraisa, but then Shachar.
Yeah.
Shachar was Doraisa.
Right. So
Yeah,
they're just different.
Okay, because you need Chelos.
Yeah, exactly. You need to be able to distinguish. But Avi is pointing out a very ironic thing. The halacha allows us to daven earlier than it does to put on tefillin. So it's like an interesting trivia question. You know, I could see, let's say if someone's in the hospital, and they are expecting to become an onay in a very short amount of time. And it's Amud HaShachar. And you say, if I wait another hour or two, I'm probably not going to be able to daven Shachos. It's probably better to get a quick Shemona Esrei in there to be Yotze Shachos without your tefillin on, because it's too early to put your tefillin on. You know, something like, you know, you come up with these cases.
No, we have that problem because Mishiyakir is at 6:30.
Yeah.
And we have to be out by 6:30.
Right. So
we
sometimes
put our thousand as per remotion stop.
Yeah, they put it up, but then they make the bracha to Shtabach. Yeah, but you don't daven. No one says Shemona Esrei without tefillin, right? In those winter months, what people do is they put on Rav Moshe, but they make the bracha before Baruch Hu. They don't. No one daven Shemona Esrei
before
which Ashrei?
The end.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kalos also.
Oh, that's interesting. All right, so that's a little bit. Let's just say, Rav Moshe is the Baruch Hashem to rely upon. So let's not go there this evening, but because it's a different sugya.
Yeah.
All right, it's a different sugya. But yeah, AB's pointing out that there's a different halachic zmanos, Misha Yaakov, when you can recognize a friend that you're somewhat familiar with, Dalet Amos, that's a later zman of the morning. Okay. But I wanted to just give you an easy, linear shear thus far. They brought the Korban Tamid at this time, Masiv and Shmuel, when the eastern sky was lit, and that's when we davened. And the Mishnah Berurah says, guess what? Umashm, it's underlined, midivrei hamachaber, dekodem heyer af bidyevet lo yotze. Let's say someone wanted to daven before the eastern sky was fully lit. No way. You're not even yotze
bidyevet.
Not even yotze bidyevet. Meaning the earliest time is amr. What?
Yotze mar.
Ha, so Adam says, you know why? Because all the while that the eastern sky is not lit, it's still nighttime. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, guess what? You know who agrees? Harbe achronim, and then he puts in these letters that I underlined intentionally. And here's where our beautiful, sweet shear comes to a curveball. Delo kemem aleph. This is against the Magen Avraham. Now you have to realize that Mishnah Berurah's commentary is around 75% or so Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham was a staple of halacha. Mishnah Berurah bases a lot of his work off of his writings. And the Magen Avraham, again, has as broad shoulders as halachics. Authorities go. And he disagrees. Magen Avraham says that you can daven Shachris earlier. You know why? Because he has a different definition of Amud HaShachar. We've been using this term, okay, loosely. Before Nates, you can daven Amud HaShachar. And until now, we've been saying Amud HaShachar means Heir Pnei HaMizrach. The eastern sky has been illuminated. Like Masib and Shmuel in the mission. That's when they brought the Korban Tamid. We're going to learn another mission now. And we'll try to get our heads into the Magen Avraham's head. This is a little bit of a challenge. Let's try to get into the Magen Avraham's head. Here it is. Here's another Mishnah in Shas. Amar lehem ha-mamuna. Sounds awfully familiar. They said to the guy appointed, the watchman, Se'u u'ru'u imigiyaz mana shchita. Is it yet time to shech the Korban Pesach, the Korban Tamid? Sound familiar? 100%. So far, verbatim of our Mishnah before Maseches Tamid. Imigiya ha-ra'u amar barkai. If it was already the time, they would say, yes, it's morning. Go shech the Korban Tamid. Masya ben Shmuel Omer. No. It's not enough just for there to be a little bit of light. Rather, Heyer, Pinei, Kol HaMizrach, Ad Shebe Chevron. Is the entire eastern sky lit all the way up until Chevron? Who Omer Hain? If the watchman would say yes, then and only then can they shech the korban tamid. So far, we've learned nothing new. It's exactly the mission of Maseches Tamid. Here is where the mission of Maseches Yuma adds a line. Why do they need this whole procession where they ask the watchman, oh, well, did you see the light? And are you sure the light is so lit that it, you know, it extends all the way to Chevron? You know why? Because there was an error once upon a time. Shepam achas, once upon a time, ala me'or halavana. There was light in the sky, but it was from the moon. V'dimu shehi'ir hamizrach, and they mistakenly assumed that the he'ir mizrach, that the entire eastern sky was already lit, because it was, but it was lit from the moon. That's not good. V'shachtu esa tamid, so therefore they shechted the korban tamid too early, because it was still nighttime, and guess what they had to do? V'tzi'u l'beis hasreifa, and they had to, unfortunately, throw that animal out. They had to dispose of it, and as kachim should, you know, it doesn't just go in the garbage, but they had to burn it because it was mistakenly shechted too early. Okay, very nice. What in the blazes? How does that impact halacha? That story. Let's try to get our heads in the bucket. It's a little bit of a riddle.
We have a lot.
Ah, Magen Avraham sees this Mishnah and says that Mishnah proves that you don't really need to wait until the entire eastern sky is lit up. Rather, as long as there's just a little bit of light in the sky, you're good. How do we see that in the Mishnah? Because what happened? The only reason they wait until the entire eastern sky is lit up is why? Because they want to make sure that what?
It's not the moon.
It's not the moon. What if you're 100% sure that it's not the moon? You don't really need to wait that long, do you?
What if it's cloudy?
Oh, so says the Magen Avraham, we see from this story that the real letter of the law is that you don't have to wait so long. As long as there's a little bit of light in the sky, that's called morning, shkayach. And you know what? You don't have to really wait much longer. Okay, once upon a time, they erred, they made a mistake, and they messed up. But if there's no such concern, doesn't mean you have to wait any longer. Wow. And this causes the Magen Avraham to have his unique and very controversial opinion, argues the Magen Avraham against everyone else, against the Shulchan Aruch. He says in the top line over here, Aval shar haposkim kasu stam im hispalo misha ala amara shachar yatsa, meaning once dawn has broken out, once it is no longer nighttime, that's the time you can daven shachris. That's the time you can really bring the tamid shel shachar. What are you waiting for? Okay, you want to say that they wait longer as a precaution? Yeah, that's a precaution. And that's exactly the point. He says, from that story, we see that it's only a precaution, and therefore, the Magen Avraham Shita is you can really daven earlier. Now, we do not pass it like this Magen Avraham, but it's a very convincing argument. Does anyone want to kind of fight back against the Magen Avraham? Because again, the Shulchan Aruch, the Torah, the Mishnah Berurah, we're all convinced they have to wait until the sky is fully lit, not sunrise. But what they all considered Heyer Pnei Mizrach, and then the Magen Avraham comes out and when one fell swoop totally disagrees with him. He just takes down these giants of halacha and says, you don't have to wait that long. And he's a very nice argument. We don't posture like the Magen Avraham. It's against everybody else. But it's, I don't know, you know, there's some people on the Magen Avraham's team. But it's
Lama Hutzrahulaka.
The Lama Hutzrah. So AB says, like the Magen Avraham, no?
That's when he calls it that diuk. He says the Gemara, the mission itself is saying.
Right, I mean, the mission was apologetic. Why did they have to wait so long? Why did they have to go through that whole procession? So you know who disagrees with the Magen Avraham, again, who really attacks him head on? So there is a sefer Magen Giborim. The Magen Giborim says, number one, you know who's against the Magen Avraham, the Rambam? What does the Rambam write? The Rambam says, Ve'emasai, I put it in quotation marks, Ve'emasai zman shchita san shel boker, you what? They would shecht it before the Chachamim. I'm sorry, yeah, that's... What would you say?
Would you
I'm sorry. Kodem Shetala, they would shechter before sunrise. When? Mishayayir Pnei Kol HaMizrach. The Rambam says black on white. They would shechter Korban Tamid every single morning when the entire eastern light was sky. The sky was light. And you know what? If the Rambam felt like the Magen Avraham, he should have then said, V'haylo Lahaskir, he should have then come along and said, well, and De'im Shachat Kodem, and if they did it earlier, it's okay. I mean, the Rambam there had a perfect opportunity to say, listen, B'di'eved, if they shechted it a little earlier, that's fine. And then he did not say that. So the Magen Avraham is a massive chiddush. V'od, and here is the trickier diuk. V'od, okay, this is, all right, ready? There's a little bit of like a black belt gemara. We're going to go back to the Mishnah. Okay, and this is a little bit more challenging than usual. We're going to go back to the Mishnah. You see the Mishnah in Yuma again, where we said that story? It's the last source on the first page for those of you, the sheet in front of you. Look at that story, the Pam Achas, right? At the end of the second to last line. Shepam Achas, one time, Allah or Halavana, right? The moonlight was shining. Vidimu Sheheir Mizra. And they thought that what? What did they think mistakenly? What did they mistakenly assume?
That, it was
that the entire eastern sky was lit. So what did they therefore say? It's early enough. According to the Magen Avraham.
It's late enough.
It's late enough. So what according to the Magen Avraham, much of that line of Mishnah I've stated. According to the Magen Avraham, you know what it should have said? It should have said, there was a very, very bright moon. It was so light that they already thought that what? It was already the first specks of morning. Because according to the Magen Avraham, that's the earliest time you can bring the Korban Tamid. The Mishnah didn't say. The Mishnah said the moon was so bright that they thought that the entire eastern sky was already lit up. Ding, 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 ding. This is the Magen Avraham. The Magen Gibborim against the Magen Avraham. Clearly, you have to wait until the entire eastern sky is lit, black on white. Again, I know it's a little bit more challenging, but the bottom line is as follows, that the Magen Avraham is against everybody. And he holds that you don't need to wait all that long to daven shacharis. Now, let's just conclude with the basic halacha. The basic halacha is that you should ideally daven shacharis when the sun rises. However, b'shas adchak, let's say you have a job to get to, you have an operation, whatever it is. You need to start traveling. You are allowed to start davening shacharis once it is dawn. Okay, good. So we assume that you are allowed to daven shacharis once Amar HaShachar hits. Now we, by the way, just did all the hard work in the background of the sikya, trying to define what is this thing called Amar HaShachar. So now we know Amar HaShachar, according to almost everybody, i.e. everyone except the Magen Avraham, is the entire eastern sky needs to be lit. So let's drop the Magen Avraham, because the Be'er Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim himself basically writes, the Gra is against the Magen Avraham. Everyone's against the Magen Avraham. And he says, like Adam, he says, until the entire eastern sky is lit, you cannot daven shacharis. Da'adayin hu b'chlal laila. I underline that line. So we assume that before the eastern sky is fully lit, that's called nighttime. There might be a glimmer of light here and there. No. That's not called daytime. That's still called nighttime. Okay. So we are posking against the Magen Avraham. And now we have a new problem. Fine. We have defined Amar HaShachar. It's not as early as the Magen Avraham said, but when is it? It's when the entire eastern sky is lit. Okay, when is that? So there's a Gemara Maseches Pesachim that says that, you know when Amar HaShachar is? Well, there are two opinions. One opinion is it's the amount of time it takes a person to walk 5 mil before the sun rises. And the second opinion of the Gemara is, no, it's the amount of time that it takes a person to walk 4 mil before the sun rises. So I just gave you a little bit of a cute picture from myzmanim.com for Allah Sashachar this morning, June 30th, 2021. So notice that both opinions are in the halacha, right? Let's assume that it takes 18 minutes to walk a mil. So do you see that there's an 18-minute discrepancy between two of the opinions?
No, that's not the reason.
Oh, but that's not the reason. That's not even the reason. That's look,
the reason is what is a mil 18 minutes or 22 minutes?
Oh, okay. But you see how there's a 90 minutes as
it's
degrees?
It's 4 mil.
Oh, it's 4 mil. We assume the halacha it's 4 mil.
It's 4 mil. The question is a mil 18 minutes or 22 minutes?
Okay. So very good. So thank you for the correction.
And it's 88. How do you get 90?
So it's just funny to look at that even after we kind of concluded against the Magen Avraham, there's still a three-way machlokas what dawn is, right? Either you 90 minutes before sunrise, or fix 72 minutes before sunrise, or 72 minutes at 16.1 degrees. I did not take the time to look what that is.
What about
you're talking about walking a mill and how long it takes. Everyone walks at a different pace.
Excellent. Very good, Robert. So let's assume the average person's pace. Very good, Robert. Robert always asks great questions. So it's just a point. It's 304 versus 416 versus 338. So, you know, little innocent Gabe Cohn came up to me this week and said, Rabbi, why does Arishul think that the fast starts at, like, you know, 3:08 a.m.? But I looked at the Young Israel's calendar, and, you know, it starts a different time. Like in our shul, we wrote that the fast started at 4:16 a.m. And the Young Israel calendar said that the fast started this past Sunday at 3:38 a.m. So as it is, it's not 100% clear when dawn is altogether. But, you know, this evening we learned a sugya that is kind of often overlooked. I apologize if it was a little bit challenging. But ultimately, there's a thing called dawn. We assume that we daven shacharis at dawn because that's when they brought the korban tamid. Now, when is dawn? There's a machlokas in the Mishnah. The Magen Avraham Paskin is like the first opinion. No one else agrees with him. So we assume that you have to wait until the entire eastern sky is lit. Beautiful. However, we're still not in the clear because as it is, there's a three-way machlokas practically on when dawn is. But on a practical level, you may daven before sunrise for sure, and that's what we do all the time in the winter. If someone is in a pinch and they have an operation, they need to get somewhere, they are allowed to daven before the sunrise for sure. And according to the Magen Avraham, you can even daven before what we call dawn. So I don't think they're related. Yeah, ironically, we rely on the Magen Avraham a ton for Zmanim about how to, you know, calculate the day Zmanim, but we're assuming against the Magen Avraham on when dawn is. We assume that you measure from dawn for certain things, but not his dawn. And even though I'm going to remember, I don't think he was saying lechatchila to do it. I think he was just saying that you're yotze against the Mishnah Berurah. So again, I hope this is not too challenging. All right, we're doing okay, everybody. All right, I hope it didn't scare anybody. I don't know. For me, this stuff is a little scary. I'm not like a mathematical Zmana person. But I hope you guys enjoyed
it. Rabbi, did Clara go on to say that? That story about the moon, about how it could be that they thought that the moon was the sun and it had to do with the clouds and how the moon was filtering through the clouds. And therefore, it wasn't that the whole eastern sky was lit up. It was simply because of the clouds.
And this is a great proof that if anyone has a question about anything in Shas, Mrs. Karp is a highly more productive resource than me. I don't know, Mrs. Karp, your answer. But I would not be surprised. I just quoted that Mishnah. I'm sorry. I don't know. But you're probably right. I would take your word on it. I just don't know.
The weather is very